This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and so glad and honored once again to be with you guys today. And we have so many thousands upon thousands all around the globe who join us from week to week, and we get so many reports and emails and stories and testimonies of people who say they've really been touched and blessed and pretty much been awakened. You know, there's nothing in life better than, like the scripture says, that awakest thou who sleeps and slumbers, to know that as people who can easily fall asleep with society the way it is, and yet through God's revelation just awaken us to truth, awaken us to clarity, awaken us to the call, what is upon our lives, to where we begin to really understand why we're here, why we're living, and what do I need to do? Do I have a mission or not? And so today I want to talk to you guys about something that I believe is really important, and that is pretty much this: why you should have a vision for your life. Why you should have a vision for your life. And I'm not going to keep you guys really long today in the podcast, but I want to give you some food for thought. When we deal with why you should have a vision for your life, we're dealing with the fact, if you think of a human being has two hands and two feet, right? And you think of hands, what are hands do? Hands be able to, they're able to grab maybe, let's say, a box of cereal from a shelf in a grocery store. Hands actually, you know, can hold money and give money out to somebody else. Hands can sort of, you know, cup water and sort of lift it up to your mouth, right? Hands can grab something as it falls. Hands can reach down when something's already fallen on the ground and reach down and grab it, right? So our hands are very important. And hands show us how we've got to begin to realize that without hands, we couldn't really exchange. The power of exchange really couldn't be there in the natural, because we would have nothing to hold to actually stretch our hands out to give. That's why we think about the fact that we're the hands and feet of God, because, you know, where our foot shall trod, God's given it to us. That's what the scripture says. And knowing that, we hear the scripture where it says, give and it shall be given. Now let's talk more on a practical sort of natural materialistic basis here. When we deal with give and it shall be given, you know, we deal with the fact that our hands are here to pick up and to give, right? So when we have our understanding of why I should have a vision, it's simply the cause effect in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual sense, we have to look at it from a stronger perspective. Giving with our natural hands is powerful, but when you deal with the fact of how you give spiritually, how you give energetically, how you give, you know, that way with your soul, with your emotions, your mind, your will, and your emotions, that achieves a lot more. Let me explain to you what I mean. If I'm going to sit here and I'm going to, let's say, give a gun to somebody, I'm just giving them the power of exchange by natural means and materialistic things of just giving them a gun, right? No harm in that, correct? But if I was to look at that person and say, you just need to drop dead, not that I ever would, but let's just go there for a moment. Guess what? That gun didn't hurt them, because I'm actually just giving them something. Because the gun itself has no definition, no power. Giving someone food, for example, who's maybe never eaten before, it doesn't really empower them unless I educate them on maybe how to utilize something, or how to make an ingredient, or, you know, how to begin to do this or do that. So if you think about it, my words are more powerful if I were to say to you, hey, you just drop dead. Nobody loves you. Nobody wants you. Those words are more powerful than me handing you a sword or a knife or a gun or a rope. Because of the fact, these things that I'm handing you, they can be able to, hey, if you want to lay them down or say, no, thank you, I don't want it, sit it down on a table, give it back to me, that's your right to do that. But words being directed cuts. So words are not just, I'm not handing you words, I'm actually giving you an empowerment in a negative sense or a positive sense of speaking those words to you. Those words, unfortunately, can get into your brain, into your mind, and after a while, you'll believe them. So when we deal with why should I have a vision for my life, because the power to give is really strong. You might say, now what does all this mean, Jeremy? Here's what it means. It means that if you do not cultivate a vision, a desire, a want, a need. If you don't cultivate these things within your life, someone else actually will. Because if I see someone on the street, let me go there. If I see someone on the street, now this actually happened to a friend of mine. I'm telling you a true story. It was embarrassing because I know this guy well. I love him and his wife dearly. But my dear friends, who I love dearly, they're very earthy. I'll just put it out there. They're very earthy. They just are earthy, okay? And so knowing that, sometimes they are not going to be materialistic because they're earthy. They're sort of like, I don't care for new things all the time. You know, hey, let's save water on, you know, by not doing this. And you know, hey, let's, you know, not kill the spider, you know, like outside that maybe is hanging above my door that's huge. You know, like me, I'm like, I'm an animal rights person. But with me, I'm like, get that thing away from me. I'm knocking it down or something, you know. But with them, it's like, you know what? Obviously, you know, God decided to put that spider right here to make a web, just leave it there and duck. And I'm like, no, that's not how life works for me, you know. But I love my friends who are very earthy. I really, really do. And so the husband, won't say his name, but the husband actually was literally with his little boy, you know, walking around outside down in the city. And some guy walked up to him and said, and said, here, let me buy you some food. And he's like, well, I don't understand why you would buy me food. And he said, I'm sorry, I thought you were homeless. Now that's sad. It's funny, but it's sad because we laughed about it, you know, because once again, he's just very earthy, you know, and earthy people really don't really dress themselves up as much, let's say, as other people would, right? Has nothing to do with money. It's just some people desire to be that way. And you know what? I applaud anyone who wants to be anything in their life. And so we laughed about it. I said, you've got to be kidding me. I thought you was homeless. He said, yeah. He said, but you know, I've got that before as well, you know, and they're not suffering or starving. It's just they're earthy people. And so it was funny because it was a true story. However, when you look at that kind of story, think about the fact that no matter what you appear to be or what you look like, for example, like my friend who was on the street with us, just walking his son down the street, you know, and someone perceived, because obviously the way he was dressed or the way he, you know, he had his hair fixed or whatever, you know, thought, I need, you know, the power of exchange, I need to give him something. Oh, wait a minute, there's a poor guy, let me give him something, you know, and it was not even poor. And so that story alone spoke volumes to me, because I realized that when we need to have a vision for our life, it deals with the fact that people will look at you. Now, this is where I want you guys to think about this. People will look at you, and you might say, well, I don't look homeless. You know, hey, I'm decked out with Guess or DKNY or, you know, whatever brand name, you know, Calvin Klein, whatever brand name you want to put on yourself, you know, and I got my hair fixed up, whatever. You know, you might not, you know, look that part like my friend did. However, when someone passes by you, no matter how you're dressed, no matter how you talk, walk, or what you look like, there is an energy presence that literally begins to draw people to you, just like I did with my friend, to assume that he was homeless. So automatically, this guy was like, you know, think about giving and shall be given here. The guy was deciding, hey, I need to give them some food. They must be homeless. And so if you think about that in the spirit realm, every one of us, how we look, how we feel, how whatever, every one of us can have an energy that's putting off of us that other people can look at and say, oh, you know what? You'd be really good at working down here at the store. You know what? You're a great dresser. You'd be great, you know, at maybe working down here in Macy's. You know, hey, you know what? You're thin. You should be a model. Hey, you know what? I heard you talk the other day. I bet you have a dynamic singing voice. You should be a singer. See, it doesn't really matter how you're dressed or how you walk or how you talk when it deals with the fact that if you don't fill yourself up, okay, the energy. If you don't fill yourself up with the energy or the anointing of God to be able to know yourself, know thyself, like the old saying is, and really know your confident level that I have a goal, I have an agenda, I have something I've got to reach and stretch out for. You know, if you don't have that, people will perceive that from you. And whether it is a natural or spiritual thing or a soulish thing, it doesn't matter, because when you don't feel yourself up with your vision, people tend to see this air about you. And once again, it's not about how you look, you dress, you talk, you walk. It's like this air that you put off that other people will say, hey, you'd be really good at doing this. Hey, you should do this. You should do that. Because when you are empty and you are void of vision, trust me, there's such a a backdrop. In other words, there's such a behind-the-scenes look, behind this backdrop, we'll say, in the Spirit, where people will pick up on your emptiness. They'll pick up on your void. They'll pick up on your hollowness, like a cave, and they will automatically, not even realizing what they're doing, recommend something to you. And they'll find a quality about you that they feel like you would be really good at doing. And yet, if you're full of vision and you understand the power of creating your own day, creating your life, understanding that, hey, I'm going to law school, I'm going to be a an attorney, that's how I'm going to do. Hey, I'm an entrepreneur, and that vision is sort of flowing out of you energetically. You know, when that happens, believe it or not, most people don't actually pay attention, you know, as far as your need, because they understand that your need is already met. Put it this way. When the Bible says, "The Lord is your shepherd, I shall not want," that scripture is extremely powerful because it's letting you know that some people look like they're needy. And when you are full of the shepherd, you are full of vision, you're full of, overflowing with your goals and your how you know the outcome's going to, come about, and what you're looking for to happen in your life and how you're preparing. When you have that, then there's a that need is taken away, and people can tell, crazy as it sounds, people can tell that you're full of something, right? And so because of that, people tend to not actually go up to you and say, "You will be good at this. You should do this. You should do that." Let me give you a great example. Do you think anyone's ever walked up to Tony Robbins, maybe in the past, we'll say 10 years, and said, "You know what? You would really be good at singing. You know what? You're real tall. You should become a basketball player." No. You know why? Because Tony Robbins is one of the most world-renowned motivational speakers that there is in our generation. And that's because, not just because everyone knows who he is, but because he's flowing with vision. He's got this forcefulness about him that just pushes out and oozes out vision and his call. And when you ooze with your vision or your call, guess what? You'll see, spiritually speaking and naturally speaking, that most people will walk up to you and recommend something for you. Why? Simply because of fact, there's something in the spirit realm that just lets that person know they're not in need of anything. In other words, they don't have a hollowness or void about them. And so subconsciously, people will just not pay attention to that. They'll just, "Hey, how you doing? Great, wonderful. Do your business," and then leave. But spiritually speaking, people can sense and pick up when you're void. People can pick up on the fact when you have no vision. It's an amazing spiritual thing I like to call miraculous, because it just works. It just is what it is, and people can tell. And so when you don't have vision, people will make sure that they box you in something that they feel you'd be good at doing. All right? And how it works is this, is everybody actually in this universe has a part of them that, once again, likes to be able to dress up people, fix people, correct people. You know, I could name on my hand certain people that I love dearly on my Facebook, but yet I never hear from one of them unless they want to maybe correct me in grammatically, or, "Hey, you should have used there, T-H-E-R-E as opposed to T-H-E-I-R, because that used to be a problem of mine, or you need a comma here, even though it's before the word and," you know. And so I never hear from, a certain friend of mine unless something goes on. I'm like, "Can you just, like, send me a DM, can you just send me a text and just let me know, instead of plastering on Facebook, like, 'Hey, your meme is great, but you misspelled this,' just for the sake of not embarrassing me so much, But I have certain people that actually do certain things because maybe it's their call. Maybe it's their call to be able to recognize certain things of life that other ones don't pick up on. So with that being said, I have certain people I can name on my hand that does certain things in my life, and yet it's their call. It's their goal. Not really a goal, but it's just their call to recognize certain things that maybe other people would not recognize, right? So with that being said, I know that there is parts of every one of us who are those type of people. There's a part of you and a part of me that tends to pick out things about people that normally we wouldn't. But why is it that it does certain people and certain people it does not? Why is it that certain people in your life, you find that you go to them and say, why? Because maybe they see a need grammatically that needs to be fixed. Maybe they see a need in your life of maybe, and not even knowing you, like, "I feel like they look like they need a job," or "They look like they're lost in life. They don't know what's going on." Or, "Wow, you know what? They need to know about this or that." Why is it that humanity does that. Because spiritually speaking, I believe we're connected somehow universally, where we will pick up on areas of void of people. We'll pick up on areas that's hollow. We'll pick up on areas of people that are visionless. Why is that? Because energetically speaking, we can always tell when there is a part of somebody who looks like they need something. And it's just how the human heart works. Because everything's energy, and energy, and wherever our attention goes, energy flows. And yet like attracts like. So here's the key thing. We will automatically pick up on certain people that look like they have a need, that look like they're void, look like, you know, that, hey, you know, I just need to recommend something to them. Why do you need to recommend something to them? I don't know. I just like I need to. Why would you want to give your opinion about something to this person? I don't know. I just like I need to. It's just the way of life. But yet when you are full with revelation, full of enlightenment, full of destiny, full of goal setting, plans, you know, vision board. When you are that person where your mind and your life is so full of dreaming and envisioning and seeing and God said this over my life and I grabbed a hold of it and ran with it, then guess what? People will pass you by or they'll start a conversation with you that has nothing to do about your action, your life of action. You should do this, you should do that. You know, almost like setting you on a new road here, right? Because subconsciously, we can sense when somebody's already on that road. And yet we don't say, hey, I just feel like that person knows their vision. I'm not going to say anything to them about, no. We're not going to do that because it's all subliminal, but also it's all, you know, spiritual. And so there's things we pick up on. And people, let me tell you something. You can pick up on when there is a need in somebody's life, right? You can just pick that up naturally or spiritually. So why is it important that you cultivate and create your own vision for your life? Because if you don't, someone else will. And before long, you will wake up. You will be so distraught. You will be so frustrated. You will be so confused because there will be 1,001 things that people have said over you. Well, somebody said I'd be good in the arts. Somebody said this. Somebody said this. Somebody said this. I remember back when I was in my early 20s. No, in fact, I think it was like 18 or 19. And I went to a dynamic, charismatic church. Loved the pastor there. Dynamic man. And so, you know, when you're 18, 19, 20, you don't know what you want to do. I mean, you know, back in the day, I didn't have a clue what I wanted to do, you know. And so I was automatically the target for the older generation to want to prophesy everything and their brother into my life. Or not even just prophesy, even just have people come and say, hey, you look this way. Hey, you would look good at doing this. Hey, you'd look good at doing that. I had so many people in my life tell me things. I remember, like I said, when I was 18, 19 years old, there were couple people who came to church, and yet I was very prophetic. Like, I've been a prophet all of my life. I, you know, doesn't mean I know everything, but I could discern at the time what was going on. And a part of me in my spirit felt like what's about to happen is not my truth. And I remember getting a prophetic word from somebody at 18 years old, a visiting prophet, whatever, you know, at my church and at the time. And he said, you know, the Lord says you're going to be good in the arts. And I'm still going, yep, God already told me that's not going to be me, you know, and it's not me. I remember in my early 20s because, you know, I'm not afraid to say things. You know, most guys are so afraid. They want to be macho and tough and rough, and they feel like that's the image they want to have because they don't know their own image. So they take on the image or the persona of the American, you know, Marlboro man that has his sleeves rolled up with a cigarette in his mouth, feeling like I have to like football or I have to like this, if not, because that's what a man really is, when a man really is not that. That's just an image of a culture that you've lost yourself in. So you wonder about never finding yourself, right? I'm just being honest here, folks. So with that said, in my early 20s, you know, I'm not the most manliest guy there is out there. And I'm cool with that. I was raised in a house full of sisters. And, you know, I'm a guy. I love being a man. But, you know, let's just be honest about it. You know, I don't have the deepest voice. I don't, you know, I don't play football or anything. I'm a prophet of God who travels the world speaking, prophesying, and writing books. You know, we talk about law of attraction. And so in my early 20s, I had a couple people who would look at me, and because I wasn't that manly man, they automatically just perceived in their own opinions, you know, hey, you would make a good beautician. You know, you'd be good at, you know, owning a salon. Or, and I'm thinking, oh my God, that is so totally not me. Like, I don't even know anything about cutting hair. That's not even who I am. Praise God for those who do that, but that's not who I am. I remember so many people in my early years telling me over and over and over again, just, you know, things that I'd be good at doing. And I'm going to tell you guys something. Thank God I did not entertain 99.9% of the other ideas, because I would not be right now where I am right now in my life, making good money, you know, being the minister of God, blessing people around the world, having a podcast, having over 75 books written, traveling the world, meeting presidents, you know, from other countries, doing these things, having a podcast. I would never be who I am today if I had heeded to those opinions of man, but yet they saw the need. They saw I was empty. They saw a void. And spiritually and subconsciously, they felt like they needed to speak into that. That is how the world works. So that's why it's important, folks, to understand, if you don't know how to navigate through life in the sense of getting and finding yourself of where you need to be, what you need to be doing, trust me, someone else will. And you'll have opinion, on top of idea, on top of idea coming to you, and you'll be so lost, you'll be struggling the rest of your life, barely making any money, and yet going from job to job to job because somehow someone in your life or someones in your life spoke these things to you because they felt they saw the need, they saw the void, and they kept on speaking and speaking and speaking. And so now guess what they've done? They've created a monster, because now this monster called you has no clue where he needs to be, what she needs to be doing, where to go, where to live, and yet you will just live and glide through life without ever making a full impact upon yourself and your family and friends and the world. So is it important for you to have your own vision? Guys, you could not imagine. When the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish, now you have a better understanding of why they perish. Okay? Why they perish. Perish doesn't mean you die. I mean, if that's the case, there'd be probably 90% of the world that doesn't, you know, that would be dead by now. So it doesn't mean death. What it means is, without a vision, you will perish, because you perish because you will never ever cultivate your own desire. You'll never live out your own desire or dreams. You'll never manifest your true authentic self. You'll never know who you really are, because you're smothered and covered up by everyone else's opinions and ideas, because you did not know how to find yourself, get within yourself, and define yourself. The most powerful moment of my life is when I learned to define myself, and I knew what I was, who I was, and who I'm going to be, and what I'm capable of doing, and knowing that whatever I touch, honey, let me tell you something, it's going to prosper. It's going to take off. Like, end of discussion. I don't even sit here and place a bet on it to say, let's just see if it works or not. It has to work. It will work. Because I know me, I know my power, I know what I'm capable of doing, and I have a vision, a very strong vision, where I am almost stubborn-headed about it, because I don't want people to stand in my way when it deals with the fact that I'm here to plow this ground called Jeremy's life, to make it happen. And as I make it happen, I cultivate a desire that I lift everyone up in my life to come with me, to go up higher with me. I've hired friends for our company that I love dearly, close to me. I remember one point I had my mother working for me years ago. When my father was alive, he wrote articles for us. I was able to lift up the kingdom of God within my life because I had a vision for me, and for anyone that's connected to me, they can come higher with me as they find their own place in their world and their life as well. And so that's how the kingdom of God works. That's us, folks. That's us, the human race. So you've got to begin this hour to find yourself, know thyself, know what you're capable of doing. Find your vision that God has written upon the tablets of your heart, because it's there, folks. It's there. Don't say, I don't know where to look, Jeremy. Look within. You've got the kingdom of God in you. I've already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. There's nothing you lack. You have everything you will ever need from the moment you're born to the day you die inside of you right now. You have riches beyond riches inside of you. If you want to make the good money, if you want to be a thousandaire, a millionaire, a billionaire, you have it in you. Are you going to work your rear end off to do it? Yes. Are you going to seek a knock to do it? Yes. But you have to learn the art of knowing how to attract that with your action, with your thought, with your vision. Vision, folks, attracts everything outwardly, externally from you that you need to match what's already inside of you of the dream and the picture and the vision you have inside of you. It will automatically attract that, and you'll sit here and say, "Wow, it's amazing you came into my life. I was just looking for that. Wow, it's amazing you came into my life. I was just, needing that, and yet you sell them. Wow, look, I just happened to stumble across the restaurant, that I was just the other day dreaming about because I've been wanting sushi so bad, and here is a brand new restaurant down the street from my house that actually is a sushi bar, and I'm like, whoa." So these things happen, folks. You know why? Because you see yourself defined. And you can open up the book of life in you, and you can read your own Webster's Dictionary. I call it Jeremy's Dictionary. That the Bible says that we are living epistles read by all men. I want people to read me, not by other people's definitions, but by my own definitions, because I've cultivated and found myself of what I look like, what I sound like, where I'm going, where I've been, and what's going to lie down the road for me that's going to explode even greater than what it did in my past. So open your book up, folks. Is your book full of words and visions? Is the book of your life full of definitions that you have created with God? Because if not, someone else will say, "Hey, you don't know this, but I see that your pages are empty. Let me write something on the page of your heart, and that way, because I just want to give you my opinion." And you'll wake up and you'll think, "What on earth has happened to me? Where am I going? Who am I? And why am I? What am I doing here?" So folks, I want you to be able to cultivate that. What I want to recommend to every one of you is something that will totally set you free. If you get a chance to go to our website, identitynetwork.net, when you do, there's a toolbar at the top of the website. If you scroll over on that toolbar, you're going to see what we call, it says courses and programs. If you highlight over the word courses, a drop-down menu appears, and it gives you all of my schools. I want to recommend a school for you guys to help cultivate who you are as a visionary. And if you scroll down through alphabetical order, go to the one that says School of Purpose and Transformational Development. School of Purpose and Transformational Development. It is on fire. You can download the entire course within probably minutes. Even though it's a huge course, you'll get hours and hours of my teachings on MP3s, and it's got an ebook in there as well. But it will help you to find your purpose and realize that there's a trend. And when we say School of Purpose and Transformational Development, literally what we're saying is there's a transformation you need to make. And the transformation you need to make is coming from the person that has opinions from others into the person who creates their own opinion and their own definition of who they are. And I want to help you through this course. So go right now, download that School of Purpose, and you will love it, and it'll bless you, and you'll be able to awaken to the things of your life. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast, guys. I love every one of you. I know every one of you has a destiny inside of you, and I want you to discover it more than probably than you do at the moment. I want to see you explode. You deserve a life that needs to explode. Something that Oprah said one time that I thought was really cool is she says, "Well, you need to take responsibility for your life. Take responsibility for your life. You are responsible, folks, to live a life of success. You are responsible to live a life of destiny." That's what returns to God and realizes that that word doesn't go back to God void, but God will look down and say, "You know what? You are living purposely in my word and the vision." So yes, you are living the life that I've sent you to do on this earth. God bless. Have a great day.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.